Good evening. It's good to see everybody out tonight. We've been talking on these Sunday nights that I've been speaking about what it means to be a mature Christian, to be a grown-up Christian. I'd seen a little story of a group of 5 to 8-year-old children, and they were asked that question of what does it mean to be an adult or to be a grown-up. And one young man said, you know you're grown up when your clothes don't fit anymore. A little girl said she believed that you were a grown-up and it meant that you could ride a bike with no training wheels and having no one run alongside. Another one said that you can cross the street on your own and you can run your own bath water. While another little boy said when you get scared at night, you don't have to run to your mom's room. One kid said when you reach the age of 30. Another one said when you stop growing old, you go to work or you become a mom. And then finally, maybe the best answer was when you have wrinkles on your face and you look in the mirror and you say, oh no. Well, there's maybe a little bit of truth in all of those answers. But as we've looked here over the last 3 lessons, God has his own idea of what it means to be grown up. And as we've looked at this, we've learned as an adult Christian is one who seeks to be like their Father in heaven, to be perfect or mature as your Father in heaven is, that we seek to be servant of others. And then we realize that we are priests of God, people who have a job to do. Not only that we realize we have a job to do, but that we do that job. And then we also talked about someone who seeks to find others to teach. And so tonight we're going to just look at one last trait of a mature, grown-up Christian. And by no means are these all of the traits. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, introduces the idea of what being an adult means, that you give something for others to imitate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we find Paul telling the church there at Corinth to imitate him because he, in one sense, was their father figure. The Greek word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 4 in verses 12 through 17, he uses it several times, and it's that of mimetan. And that's where we get our word mimic or to imitate. The word mimetan is repeated several times in Scripture. And this is an expression of an important biblical concept. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes there to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And later, or again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, he says there that whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Peter, in much the same way in 1 Peter 5:3, he tells there that the elders, that their job must be to lead, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. In case that idea, I guess, is lost on the rest of the church, God tells them this in Hebrews 13:7. He says, to remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Philippians 3:17, join with the others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So our objective is to get to the point of maturity where we can be an example for other people. The most obvious way to become an example is to find a position of responsibility where we can influence others. Whether it's getting involved in the youth group or helping in one of the Sunday school classes or beginning an in-home Bible study with someone, there are so many areas of the church that are so diverse that someone can find something to get involved with. Paul had this to say to Timothy, to do that very thing. When he writes in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, in the things that you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So, if you're a teacher or a person with a ministry within the church, you should find someone who you can mentor, someone that you can train to do what you do. But this training of others is more than just teaching facts and figures. While teaching things like who Peter, James, and John are, and where is Damascus on the map, and what did the tabernacle look like, are very valuable and worthwhile, that's not really what Paul stresses here in 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 12 tells us that we work hard with our own hands. One thing Paul wanted the Corinthians to imitate was his work ethic. Similarly, when Paul writes the church at Thessalonica, he says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning verse 7, Paul says, "We were not idle when we were here with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden on any of you. We did this not because you do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow." In verses 12 and 13 there, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "When we were cursed, when we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly." Paul wanted the Corinthians to mimic his response to unfair and deceitful people. When he was cursed, he blessed. When he was persecuted, he endured it. And when he was slandered, he answered kindly. And those aren't just theological ideas that he's pushing. He's telling them to emulate his lifestyle. When people are around you, you should also be an example of those things for them. Too often, Christians behave like the motorists at the traffic light, as Jay Leno talked about. They had that bumper sticker that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." And so Jay gave his horn a tap, and the man stuck his head out the window and said, "The light's still red, you idiot." Well, he wasn't exactly practicing what he preached. You can imagine the effect, though, that type of behavior has on others. And that's why Paul didn't emphasize that people should copy his teaching style. Instead, he stressed that they should imitate his lifestyle. Another way of saying it is it's good to talk the talk, but it's better to walk the walk. And there's just one more thing tonight, and it's a critical thing that we need to be a model for others. We need to teach a love for God and a love for God's Word. When Abraham Lincoln was growing up, it said that his mother had a powerful effect on how he saw God. From the age of 2 to the age of 9, which is when she passed away, he heard from her to repeat those stories from the Bible over and over again, and to repeat to him different scriptures. When she was on her deathbed, she called him over to her, and she said, "I'm going to go away, Abraham, and I won't return. And I know you will be a good boy, and I want you to live as I have taught you, to love your heavenly Father and to keep his commandments." And the boy Lincoln is said to have promised. Well, that's a promise made all the difference, and no doubt how he eventually led our country through its darkest hours of the Civil War. One writer said that my Sunday school teachers didn't mind telling the same story over and over and over again. And because they didn't mind telling it, I love to hear it. Too often, people regard the church like they do the Sunday paper. People used to buy newspapers to gain information and entertainment. And sometimes that's some of the same reasons why some people come to church. And that's because newspapers aren't interactive. There's no way for the reader to directly input information like they would a computer. But newspapers didn't always used to be that way. Early newspapers were often passed from person to person and house to house. Some papers contained one or more blank pages to which a subscriber could fill it in with their own news before sending that newspaper on to their neighbors. That, in essence, is the model that God wants his church to be like. He not only wants us to read his Bible, he not only wants us to hear his word, but he wants us to write out in our lives the example that others can follow in how we work, and in how we live, and in how we love and follow Christ. And I'll just close with this, a story of a missionary in India who was once teaching the Bible to a group of Hindu ladies. And about halfway through the lesson, one of the women got up and she walked out. And a short time later, she came back in and she listened more intently than ever. And at the close of the hour, the leader inquired. He said, "Why did you leave the meeting? Weren't you interested?" And she said, "Oh yes, I was very interested. I was so impressed by what you had to say about Christ that I went out to ask your driver whether you really lived the way that you talked. And when he said that you did, I hurried back in so I wouldn't miss out on anything." It's important how we live our lives before other people. Our challenge is to get to the point in our lives where we can say with Paul, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ," as he writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. If you are a Christian and have faltered in your walk and need the prayers of this congregation, now would be an opportune time to make that known as well, as together we stand.